Thank you, Rabbi Goldreich. Thank you all for hosting me, hosting the YU Summer Kollel once again this year. It's always a very special feeling for me to return back home, and I always anticipate it eagerly, and I thank you very much for your warm welcome. This evening's topic, birthdays and yahrzeits, the evil eye will wait till next week, is essentially an attempt to ask what Judaism has to say about each of them, birthdays and yahrzeits. Are they opportunities for a festive celebration, for solemn commemoration? What are they? Should they be celebrated? Should they not be celebrated? And if you look at the handout, first page is the Hebrew sources, second page is the translated Hebrew sources, and the third page is an integration of English and Hebrew. It has been often noted, as you can see here on the first source of the page, that the earliest source in the Chumash in Tanakh for celebrating birthdays is that of Paro Melech Mitzrayim, celebrating his birthday. And that, of course, raises the question, well, is that a role model we want to learn from in this regard? Is that someone we should not be learning from in this regard? That might not be the best example or the best source to prove one way or the other the fact that Paro celebrated his birthdays. And the truth is, if you look at the history, ancient rulers in antiquity often celebrated their birthdays. Josephus describes Agrippa I, the Roman-appointed governor or king of Judea in the year 40 or so of the Common Era, who celebrated his birthday, huge celebration for all his Jewish subjects. Antiochus I of Commagene in southeast Turkey, not only did he celebrate his birthday, he celebrated it every month, not just every year, and he even inscribed in his tomb that he insists that his subjects celebrate his birthday every month after he dies as well. He was a very big birthday person. And the question is, why were they celebrating? And why would we or why should we celebrate our birthdays? It's a very fascinating article authored by Professor Yisrael Toshma of Hebrew University, died recently, in the journal Tzion, the Israeli Historical Society's journal, about 6 years ago, in which he, in his discussion of birthdays, writes that ancient rulers who celebrated their birthdays, or ancient people, even simple people who are celebrating their birthdays, weren't just celebrating their birthdays to pat themselves on the back. Rather, what they were doing was really something more of a pagan worship ceremony. They believed in the genius, as they called it, which was a person's spiritual guardian on high who came into existence when a person was born and kept an eye over him or her during their lifetime. And every year on their birthday, they would bring food and wine and flower wreaths and crowns, not to celebrate themselves, but to offer the food and congratulations to their alter ego upstairs, their genius, as it is called. And if that's the case, that would certainly explain why, if you look in the Gemara does not at all encourage Jewish birthday parties. Doesn't mention them. Because if that's what birthday parties were all about back in the day, so pagan worship of angels or spiritual beings other than God is not something that Judaism encourages, obviously. It's strictly forbidden. And Professor Toshma notes how ironic it is that today, and we celebrate our birthdays with food and with drink and with crowns, and we think we're celebrating, you know, the birthday boy himself, when in fact, originally, it was a different notion intended altogether. But despite its somewhat different origins, if you look in source number 2, which is taken from Medrash Seichel Tov, from the 11th century, a comment on that pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev describing Paro's birthday, so Rabbeinu Menachem ben Shlomo, in this source, Medrash Seichel Tov, tells us, commenting on what was common practice in the Jewish community in his time, in his day, he says, "Rov b'nei Adam mechavvim yom shu tashlum shnasan. most people actually appreciate, enjoy that day that completes their year, meaning shehu keneged osu hayom shenolad bo, the day that marks the anniversary of their birth. They were happy on that day. They'd celebrate that day. Usmeichem bo va'osim bo mishta, they'd throw a party on their birthday. So in the 11th century, it's clear that Jews also were celebrating their birthdays. Obviously not for the same reasons that the kings of old were, but they were happy on their birthdays. And the question then becomes, what is the significance of the birthday? If we find that it is a common Jewish custom, or at least it was, to celebrate birthdays, what is the reason for it? What is the significance of the birthday? Obviously, we'll all point to the bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, that's a significant birthday, that I can understand. But the annual celebration of a birthday, when it doesn't mark any significant milestone in one's Jewish life. So what is the significance, if any, that Judaism attaches to the annual birthday? So perhaps one of the earliest sources that Makoros that people point to in source number 3 is a Talmud Yerushalmi, which discusses the story in Chumash Parshas Bishalach of the first battle between Amalek and the Jews in the desert. And the Talmud Yerushalmi says something interesting. Talmud Yerushalmi says, quoting Yehoshua ben Levi, Amalek kushvan haya. Amalek was knowledgeable in sorcery. What did he do? Hayamamid b'nei adam b'yom ginus yashalo. When he came to fight the Jews, and he handpicked his soldiers for the front to send to battle, he sent those soldiers who were celebrating their birthday on that day. He said, happy birthday, here's a gun, go fight. Why? It wasn't just some cruel, wicked birthday gift. But rather, says the Talmud Yerushalmi, Lomar, the reason for this is because lo bimheira adam nofel biyom ginus yashalo. They knew, they believed, that a person will not easily meet with failure on his birthday. This day of the year marks a special day for the individual involved. It's a day of good fortune and good luck and good mazel for this person. On your birthday, you're going to succeed. You're not going to fail. So you're the ones we want to go fight in the front. And interestingly, the Gemara Yerushalmi says that Moshe didn't deny that or dismiss it out of hand. Moshe counter-strategized. And Moshe was irbeit es hamazalos. He somehow confused the constellations. He played with the celestial bodies to undo that good luck charm that the birthday people had on that day. In fact, if Yonatan Eibershitz writes, very, very interesting comment in his Yaros Devash, he says, if you look in the Chumash, when Moshe was telling Yehoshua to go fight Amalek, so what did he say? Moshe says to Yehoshua, "Say hilachem ba'amalek, go fight Amalek." And what's the next word? Machar, tomorrow. Why? So you notice the Navashit says, very simply, Moshe knew what Amalek was up to. They had all their birthday boys dressed up in their army khaki suits up, ready to fight. He says, no problem. Take it easy, wait a day, and then we'll go fight. Birthday's gone by then. They're going to lose. So apparently, this Talmud Yerushalmi is telling us that somehow the mazalos, the good fortunes of a person, smile upon him on his or her birthday. We find a similar idea brought out in a well-known Gemara Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara describing Haman casting his lots to determine when I should attack and annihilate the Jewish nation. So the Gemara says, Kevan Shnatha Pur Bechodesh Adar, when he saw that Adar was the month that was chosen for his operation against the Jews, Samach Simcha Gadola. He was so excited. Why? Omar, he said, Nafali Pur B'Yerach Shemes B'Moshe. Perfect. My lot has been cast upon that month, Adar, in which Moshe Rabbeinu died. It's a bad luck month for the Jewish nation. That's the perfect month to attack them in. And the Gemara says, commenting on that, however, says the Gemara, Lo Haya Yodea, he did not know, She B'Shiva B'Adar Meis, U B'Shiva B'Adar Nolad. That not only was Moshe deceased, or not only did he die in that month of Adar, but he was also born in that month of Adar, in fact, on the very same day, the seventh day of Adar. And that, says the Gemara, meant that Adar, far from being a bad month for the Jews, was a wonderful month for the Jews. It was Moshe Benu's birthday month. That meant good fortune was smiling upon the Jewish nation, and they had nothing to fear. So once again, we see the Gemara, this time the Talmud Bavli, highlighting this idea that in Hashkafa, a person's mazel, which we find even in the Gemara in reference to Jews. Jews have mazel also, the Gemara says, asar shalmala, a guardian angel, so to speak. And the Gemara says that the birthday is a day upon which a person's mazel shines upon him. It's a good fortune day for an individual. Now the problem is, there's an obvious question here. Because we just said that on a birthday, you're not going to fail, no bad things will happen to you. It's a day of good fortune. And yet the Gemara in Megillah tells us that on the seventh day of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was born and also died. So what happened to good fortune on a birthday? The Gemara itself is very difficult. So Rav Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, in his Sfarim, writes something which is a very different perspective than one might have otherwise had. And he says the following. He says, the Gemara tells us that the greatest tzaddikim died on their birthdays. Moshe Rabbeinu was one. Who was the other? David HaMelech. Those are two individuals who were told by Chazal died on their birthdays. So what happened to their good fortune on their birthday? How could they die in that day? So he explains that for someone who is as perfect as Moshe Rabbeinu, someone as perfect as David HaMelech, someone who spent his entire life striving to become closer to God, to achieve spiritual perfection, the only way at a certain point they can progress any further in that quest for the ultimate spiritual perfection and closeness to God is when they are relieved of their physical limitations that this world imposes on them, and they're allowed to ascend to a higher, better world. So Rav Tzedek HaKohen says, for someone as holy, as perfect as Moshe Rabbeinu, someone as holy, as perfect as David HaMelech, for them, death on a birthday is not a tragedy or misfortune, just the reverse. For them, this is what they've been aspiring to and waiting to get to the next level, and this is how they do it. That's for the unique few, such as David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. For everyone else, says Rav Tzedek HaKohen, Ein lo lira, he shouldn't be afraid of any misfortune befalling him on his birthday. A similar idea comes across in a well-known story, which is alluded to in the Haggadah. It's in source number 6 here on the page. Gemara in Brachos, describing what happened when Rabban Gamliel was removed from his position as the Nasi, as the Prince of Israel, and was replaced by the very young 18-year-old Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And everyone was concerned, 18-year-old, he's a young boy, he won't command the respect that he needs to command in such a position. And the Gemara says in source number 6 in Brachos that Ahu Yoma, on that day that he was appointed to become the Nasi, the Prince, Bar Tamini Srei Shani Hava, he was 18 years old. What happened? A great miracle occurred. Esrachish le'nisa. Miracle occurs. And all of a sudden, white starts appearing in his beard. Which perhaps most of us wouldn't view as such a good thing. But in that case, it was a wonderful miracle. It was great. So the Ben Ish Chai, the rabbi in Baghdad, turn of the last century, writes in his Perish on that Gemara, he says, what is Ahu Yoma, that day, Bar Tamini Srei Shani Hava? He says, the Gemara is saying that on that very day he turned 18. That was his birthday. Why then did that miracle occur to him on that day? Because a birthday is a good day for a person. It's a day of good fortune. He was in a bit of a tight spot. He looked too young. It was his birthday. Mazel shined upon him. Nace occurred. And he got that white in his beard that he so desperately needed. But the Ben Ish Chai goes a step further. And he says, therefore, he says, it's appropriate for people to celebrate their birthdays. Make a yomtuf on the birthday. He says, that's our custom here in Baghdad. That's what my family does, he writes. People celebrate their birthdays as a personal yomtuf because it's a day of good fortune, a day of good mazel for that individual. It's reason to celebrate. It's reason to be happy. Much the same as Adar is a month of good mazel. It's a month of marvin besimcha. So too, the yom huledes, shel adam, personal birthday, is a yomtuf for that individual, writes the Ben Ish Chai. And the truth is, the same celebratory suggestion can be found even in a much earlier source in the comments of the Rush, who lived back in the 1200s, 1300s. The Rush, commenting on Gemara Meseches Nazir, very cryptic Gemara in source number 5, the Gemara says, if someone takes a vow and says, Kemosha b'shiva ba'adar, I want to be like Moshe on the 7th of Adar. So what does that mean? What kind of vow is that? That's the Gemara's question. So the Rush commenting on that Gemara says, the question is as follows. Moshe died on that day, in which case maybe he meant to say, I want to deprive myself of luxuries like the day of Moshe's passing. But Moshe was also born on that day. Says the Rush, Yom Mishta V'Simcha, a day of party and celebration. Maybe he meant to say, I want to party and celebrate, like the seventh day of Adar's birthday party. So the Rush himself, commenting on that Gemara, is telling us that a birthday is a Yom Mishta V'Simcha, a day of party and celebration. So there would seem to be ample sources found going back to view birthdays in a positive light. The question then becomes, why would you not? Why is this a question altogether? Some people celebrate birthdays, some maybe don't. And why would anybody be opposed to celebrating a birthday? And in that regard, there's a very fascinating comment written by the Munkach Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar, Chaim Elazar Shapiro, who was the Rebbe in Munkach before the Second World War. He died in 1937, I believe. And he was asked by the monarchy of the Austro-Hungarian Empire to address the Jewish community in Munkach on the birthday of and in celebration of the birthday of Emperor Franz Joseph, who was the ruling monarch in Austria and Austria-Hungary until his death in 1916. So he writes in his Sefer Divrei Torah that he got up in the main shul in Munkach, gave a drush in honor of the emperor's birthday, and in that drush he said that we Jews should not be celebrating birthdays. I assume the emperor wasn't there. What did he say? Why not? He said because there's a well-known Gemara, Maseches Erevin. And the Gemara in Erevin describes a philosophical debate that raged for 2.5 years between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What was the debate? Purely theoretical debate. The debate was, Noach lo la'adam shenivra, or Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. Are we people better off having been created, or would we have been better off had we not been created? That was the debate that raged for 2.5 years, the Gemara says, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. After 2.5 years, they said, okay, time's up. Time to take a vote. See what the decision is. And the Gemara says, Nimnu v'gamru, they counted and they decided, Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra yosem mishenivra. We would have been better off had we not been brought into this world to face the challenges that we have to face. Life would have been much easier that way. Wouldn't have been life, but it would have been much easier that way regardless had we not been brought into this world to face those challenges that we face here in Olam Hazeh. So the Munkach Rebbe, addressing his Kehil and Munkach, said, so tell me, if the Gemara says that we would have been better off not having been created, what are we parting for on the birthday? Doesn't make any sense. And for that reason, he was opposed to birthday parties. What then is the response for those of us who enjoy birthdays? Why are we celebrating? Rabbi Gedalia Oberlander, in an article in Or Yisrael Torah Journal, writes that he was told by a Stalin or Chassid that there is a legend in Stalin that one of the Stalin or Rebbe's was once celebrating his birthday. Now, amongst Chassidim, birthdays are a very big to-do. The Rebbe's celebrate their birthdays publicly with all their Chassidim. And one of the Stalin Rebbe's once celebrating his birthday, and I guess Chassid with some spunk said, Rebbe, I don't understand. The Gemara says in Erevin, it's better off had we not been created. Why are we celebrating your birthday? So his response was, the Gemara means that I would have been better off had I not been created. But you guys, you're better off now that I have been created. So if anybody ever challenges you on your birthday, you have a ready response ready to go. But aside from that sharp response, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was one of those Hasidic Rebbeim who celebrated his birthdays publicly with his Hasidim. In fact, there was a Torah Journal published here in Toronto by the Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva of Toronto in 1983 in celebration of the Rebbe's 80th birthday. So Lubavitcher Rebbe was obviously one who dealt with these issues also. So he explained as follows. Why are we celebrating birthdays? So he quotes the Pasuk in Koheles, source number 8. Tov shem mishemen tov v'yom hamaves miyom hivaldo. A good name is better than a good oil, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. Why is the day of death better than the day of birth? So the Medrash there says, because when a person is born, you don't know what life will bring. This person can be a tremendous tzaddik, Baal Chesed, or he can not be a tremendous tzaddik and Baal Chesed. We don't know yet. Life is ahead of him. He can go one of two ways. It's a little too premature to celebrate because we don't know how he's going to utilize the opportunities that life has in store for him. Yom HaMoves, though, once a person has lived a fulfilled, meaningful life and you look back upon his accomplishments, now you can say with certainty, wow, that was a life well lived. So in a certain sense, Yom HaMoves and Yom HiValdo, looking back when a person leaves the world, you have more to say with more confidence than you would when a person enters the world. Lubavitcher Rebbe then says the following. He says, the Gemara in Ervin just simply means that when a person is created, it's not so easy. There are challenges awaiting him. We don't know what's going to be. He might have been safer had he not been brought into the world for that reason. But says Lubavitcher Rebbe, there still is reason to celebrate. How do I know? He points to the Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah celebration, one that we've always celebrated. Says this Zohar tells us, source number 9, why do we celebrate bar mitzvahs, bas mitzvahs? What's so significant and so celebratory about those days? So the Zohar says, it's because it's biyoma dekashran leme'evar pikudei oiraisa. It's the day upon which a person becomes capable of and responsible of a life of Torah and mitzvahs. From this day on, I now have the potential to live my life as a successful religious Jew. That's a tremendous opportunity that's worth celebrating. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, same is true of every birthday. Every birthday is a day upon which we celebrate the potential and opportunities that I have to live my life as God wants me to. With the assumption that every Jew is becheskas kashrus, every Jew will choose to live his life the way he's supposed to. And in a sense, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, a birthday is a day of thanks for the greatest gift of all, the gift of life that gives us that opportunity. Ironically, though, he says, at the same time, it's a day of introspection and reflection. He says, think of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of man. Rosh Hashanah, we know, is the day of introspection, self-reflection, examination, improvement. And so, too, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, a birthday as well. Just as we celebrate the gift of life, the opportunity to live life as a good Jew, we should stop and reflect and think, how can I improve in that ultimate goal of mine, of that mission? In fact, in the introduction to the commentary of the Ksav Sofer, Chassam Sofer's son, Tuchumish, so his children write that every birthday he would finish a Masechta and celebrate with a Siyum. And he therefore would tell his Shamus, no one's to come into my office today, I'm busy. No one's coming in. On his 54th birthday, Choshev Arav, close Talmud and family member of the Ksav Sofer comes in. Shama says, I'm sorry, the Rebbe said you can't go in. He said, I must see him. Excuse me, steps aside, he walks into the room, he finds Ksav Sofer crying bitter tears. He says, Rebbe, what happened? So Ksav Sofer said, I'm ben nun dalad shana, 54 today. I'm done anochi es atzmi. I'm therefore now judging myself, introspecting, reflecting about how much time I could have spent in a better way than I did spend it. And he wasn't just celebrating with a siyum, but he was celebrating with a cheshbon hanefesh as well. So according then to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the birthday celebration, while on one hand it's a day of thanksgiving, of simcha, for the gift of life, for the opportunity to live life as a Jew, it's also a day of introspection as to how I can better live my life as a Jew. I'd like to now, the remaining time that we have, take a look at the flip side of life and death. That being yard sites. And to ask the same question, how do you celebrate a yard site or commemorate a yard site? Birthdays, you know, we're used to thinking intuitively birthdays are days of celebration. And yet it's clear that there's also a flip side to that, that birthdays should be a day of introspection. Yard sites would logically and intuitively be days of introspection, somber reflection, and yet as we know today, very often It's time for a l'chaim and for mizonos. So how does that reflect the solemn commemoration of a yard site? And the question really is, well, why am I observing a yard site? What is it for? Why do I commemorate yard sites? So in the third sheet, I selected a number of reasons that are quoted by Rabbi Aaron Levine in his book, Kol Bo LeYard Site. We'll look at the Bir Halacha in source number one, who mentions two of them as examples. The Bir Halacha writes, he says, the reason we commemorate a yard site is for two reasons. Hu mishnei ta'amim. Either he says, O deba oso yom isra mazalo shel avel. Maybe it's because this day indicates a day on the calendar that is a day of misfortune personally for this individual. A parent died on this day. Or he says, kedei sheyihye nachas ruach la'aviv uli'imo, to provide some pleasure or benefit for one's deceased parents. But how? Lahagin alehem ulachaper al nafsham, to protect them and atone for them. Why are you still trying to protect and atone for a parent who has since died? So the Arizal explains that just as when a person dies, he or she is judged as to whether he or she merits entrance into Gan Eden, so too on a yard site, that neshama is judged once again. But this time, judged as to whether he or she can ascend to the next level of Gan Eden. And every year, that day of judgment reoccurs. And the Arizal says that the Kaddish we recite during the year-long period of Avelus is a Kaddish that enables the parents to enter Gan Eden. The Kaddish one recites on a yard site is a Kaddish that enables a parent to ascend higher in Gan Eden. It's another recurring Yom Hadin on an annual basis. And so, with that in mind, certainly a yard site is a very solemn day indeed. It's a day on which one should be introspecting, reflecting, doing teshuva, davening, doing mitzvos, learning, because we're trying to ensure as great a zechus as possible for the neshama of the deceased. And in fact, if we look at what the Gemara says about yard sites in Maseches Nedarim, source number 2 on the page here, the Gemara refers to one who takes a vow not to eat meat, not to drink wine, just as he would refrain from those activities on the day that his father died. Meaning, the Gemara is telling us that on the day of a yard site, what was considered appropriate conduct was not to eat meat, not to drink wine, refrain from physical pleasures as part of that teshuva introspection process. And in fact, in source number 3, the Ramah tells us that it's a mitzvah to fast on the day of a yard site. This was the traditional minhag, quoted in the Ramah as a mitzvah to fast on the day that a parent, a father, or a mother had died. And that really begs the question, because today, I don't know statistics, but so often we see that a common minhag amongst many of our fellow Jews is not to fast, but to specifically provide and partake of a l'chaim, some schnapps, some kichel, some cake, some herring, some crackers. So how did that evolve and why? And how does that make sense considering the purpose of the day? So Rabbi Aaron Levine writes in his sefer that when Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky first came to the States, so he saw there was a Bala Yard site one morning who, after davening, announced a tikkun, some l'chaim, some schnapps. So he figured, okay, that's a nice idea, provide people with something to eat or drink. And then he saw the Bala Yard site himself taking a drink and a bite to eat. So he said, what's going on here? In Lithuania, no one ever did that. Everyone fasted on yard sites. What happened here in America? So what then is the reason, or are the reasons perhaps, for this evolution of a minhag that appears to cast a yard site more in a celebratory light almost, as opposed to the solemn, somber notion that we usually think of yard sites? So one explanation given by the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss, one of the great poskim of the last generation, last source on the page, he writes, Kesherot tzadiki hador hatashus koach shabala olam. Tzadikim, the Rabbanim, saw that people really were having a tough time fasting. It wasn't something that appealed to people. It's difficult, it's hard. I'm working, I can't fast so easily. I need some other way to commemorate and memorialize a yahrzeit. So he writes, what happened? Himlichu eitzel azeh belo hatanis. They suggested counterproposal, no fasting. Something that everyone can do and enjoy. What's that? To ensure that on the yahrzeit one fulfills the mitzvah of tzedakah and hachnosas orchim, with a group of people and friends, by inviting everyone to a meal to partake together. Because by inviting friends, you have hachnosas orchim, and if the friends that you invite are people who would not otherwise have a good, healthy breakfast, then you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah as well. If you give them something, you know, of significance to enjoy for breakfast. So this suggestion is very simply, fasting wasn't so popular, it wasn't so easy, it wasn't so convenient, it was hard for people. So Rabbanim suggested, okay, if you're not going to fast, it's not a chiyuv, it's a recommendation, but if you can't do it, so do another mitzvah in a different way, a vastly different way. Hachnasas Orchim Tzedakah. In fact, there is a quote from the Shpaler Zeda. Shpaler Zeda, I don't know his name. I think he was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mizrich, one of the great Hasidic rabbis at that time. He's often quoted in Shlomo Kalbach's stories. And he apparently, I'm not sure what the context was, but once said that the real tzedakah amitis, emes tzedakah, is giving somebody a l'chaim. Give him a little chizik, give him a little jolt, I guess, something to keep him going during the day. So I guess that was said in this context of, you know, helping someone else start off his day. And that's one suggestion given for the common celebration today or commemoration today of yahrzeits. However, there's another, perhaps slightly more profound and very beautiful suggestion as to why yahrzeits today would be commemorated in what would appear to be a joyous manner. And the truth is, I think amongst Sephardim, I know someone of Moroccan extraction told me that in her community, they celebrate yahrzeits by the entire family coming together for a festive meal on the day of the yahrzeit. So certainly there is something to the yahrzeit being celebrated in a festive way. So why would that be? What's the logic behind that? And the question is even all the more troubling when you think of the fact that how do we refer to the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai? There's a word that's used often in Kabbalistic writings to refer to the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That word is hilula. Hilula really means a wedding celebration. Why on earth would you call a yahrzeit a hilula, a wedding celebration? And Hasidim, especially on the yahrzeit of a Rebbe, there's no tachanun, it's like a mini yomtiv. What does a yahrzeit have to do with wedding celebrations, rejoicing? It seems so opposed, it's like such polar opposites to each other. So Rav Steinsaltz once explained so beautifully as follows. He said, if you think about what a wedding is, a wedding on the one hand, initially perhaps, there's some subtle sorrow of parting. You know, a young girl is leaving her parents' house. They're sorry to see her go. She's somewhat sad to leave and start anew. But of course, it's immediately followed by the most tremendous joy. A union between two people who Chazal tell us were predestined for one another. Says Rav Steinsaltz, that's why Mekubalim refer to a yahrzeit as a hilula. Because what is a yahrzeit? Obviously, initially, it's terrible sorrow. It's parting. Person's taken from this world. But with passage of time, when one considers the fact that ultimately our aspirations and goals in this world are to spiritually perfect ourselves, become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to achieve that spiritual perfection that is limited in this world but can only be accessed to a greater degree in the next world, so a hilula, a day that marks one's passing from this world, is also in a certain sense viewed in a positive way. It's the transition which begins with a sorrowful parting, but enables the neshama of the departed to achieve a greater union, a greater perfection, a greater closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was unattainable in this world. And it's essentially not just the end of life, but the beginning of a new and better life. And for that reason, says Rav Steinsaltz, Hasidim, writings in Mekubalim, celebrate the yahrzeit. Hilula to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. It's a Yom HaDehilula, because with passage of time, as each and every year goes by and the neshama is able to ascend higher and higher in Gan Eden. So yes, it began with very terrible sorrow and terrible tragedy, but with the passage of time, we appreciate that that tragedy was not just the end, but a new beginning. And so if I would then conclude by going back to the initial question that we began with, birthdays and yahrzeits, festive celebrations, or solemn commemorations, truth is, they're really a bit of both. And both of them are a bit of both. Birthdays are certainly celebratory days, days of thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. But at the same time, as the Ksav Sofer taught us, they're days of introspection. How am I living my life? How can I better live my life? Yahrzeits, obviously, are days of sorrow, days of commemoration of a tragedy of one who's no longer with us. But at the same time, with passage of time, albeit at first with difficulty, we learn ultimately to appreciate them also as days that express a little bit more of a positive outlook, of a transition from this world to the next, much better world. Thank you very, very much. And if there's any questions, I'm willing to try to respond. Yes. It's a good question. We usually perceive Beis Shammai to be the more pessimistic one in these debates. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't tell us specifically who said what. The Maharsha offers an interesting explanation of that Gemara. He says, Nimnu v'gamru, they counted and decided, does not mean that they voted, but it means they counted the mitzvos that we are supposed to do and the averos that we're not supposed to do. And as we know, the averos outnumber the mitzvos by 365 to 248. So says the Maharsha, they counted the do's and the don'ts, and they realized statistics are somewhat troubling. There's many more don'ts than there are do's, so we're, you know, it probably would have been easier for us had we not been brought into this kind of challenge, but once we're here, let's do it carefully.
Well, then, it would seem that it would make sense that a celebration would be greater at a yahrzeit than at a birthday.
Because you've passed the challenge? Right, so there's no question that Steinsaltz is making that point, that yahrzeits are, in a sense, positive days for that reason. Obviously, we tend to view birthdays as happier days than yahrzeits because the emotions get involved. So you can't really avoid that. But there certainly is truth to both sides of the coin. Interesting question. I don't know enough about it to say anything intelligent about it. Haven't been to Gan Eden yet, so I couldn't comment on how many stories there are exactly. I don't know. That's a good question. Offhand, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yes. Right. That was the Moshe Rabbeinu David HaMelech Chazal. Right. Why are they considered exceptions? Because for most people, death is the end of an opportunity which they still need. For Moshe and David, they had perfected themselves and utilized the opportunity to its fullest already. They were ready to go on. Because birthdays are days of good fortune. So if for this individual, death is a good fortune, that means that he's an individual of great perfection. Yes.
Making a bracha during the yahrzeit, there is a lot of emphasis being put on that, especially starting they have, the ma'aretz. What's the significance of
Right. The explanation given is that when you say a bracha with kavana and someone answers amen with kavana, the mitzvah of the bracha and the mitzvah of the amen is a benefit to the neshama, and hence the word tikkun, which means that you bring, I guess, perfection to the neshama through the brachas that you make when you eat or drink at that tikkun. I think that's the idea behind it. Yes. A bit more than birthdays. I guess it touches upon that same idea that they've achieved perfection in this world. That's the assumption, and that they're now in a much better world. That's probably why they're celebrating. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you very much.